Good morning. It's 11:06 here at News Radio 1580 WCCF, and you're listening to The Dr. Triana Show. This is a live medical talk show in which you're encouraged to participate. Our phone numbers are 206-1580 or toll-free at 888-441-1580. And now, your host in the program, Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
And good morning, everyone. Oh, it's nice and chilly this morning.
Very nice outside.
Chris Cripps, and we have Zane here. We have Dr. Katzen. Do we have a caller already?
We do.
Hello, caller. Maybe it was a...
There's someone there. Hello.
Okay. I guess they hung up. Well, if you want to give us a call, you know, this is what makes the show so exciting for me. It's 206-1580. We accept live calls. Call us, ask us your questions, talk, maybe answer what body part am I. This is a live talk radio show where you can ask, and we are here to answer your questions. And so today we're very excited to talk about our latest endeavor. We went to an incredible conference, and Dr. Katzen, I want you to talk about it. And then we're going to do, actually, you know what? I think I'm going to do the what body part of my first.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana, and we're going to do the question, what body part of mine? And, you know, a lot of my patients, I had a patient actually this week who said, you know, I knew the answer, but I didn't call. I said, well, you know, you can just use your first name. You don't have to use your last name if you want to just say your first name, or you don't even have to say your name. You can answer. You can ask a question. You can comment. Anyways, so we're going to start off with what body part am I? Okay. I'm 3 to 6 feet long. My main job is to reabsorb water from digested material. Where I begin, I have a small appendage. Extra credit if you remember what that is. Which sometimes gets infected. If I don't work right, you are not a happy camper. So, what body part am I? And if you get that, what is the small appendage? Then, boy, that's extra credit. You could tell I'm a student at heart, right?
Right.
I come to the show with my book, with papers, with information. I'm always reading, studying, and going to conferences. So I went to an incredible conference in Hallandale, right? Hollywood.
Right. Hollywood.
Hollywood, Florida. Florida. And it's called the ISET Conference, the International Society for Endovascular Therapy. Talk to us about that, Dr. Katzen.
Well, this was the 27th year that my brother, who is my younger brother, had this conference.
And hello, caller.
Good morning. Is it your colon?
Yay!
Boy, that didn't take long.
I don't think I know the appendage. You said it was a small appendage?
It's small appendage. It's at the beginning where the colon starts.
Ooh.
And some people, when it gets sick, they have to have surgery.
Gallbladder.
No, but that's okay. What's your first name, caller?
Linda.
Hi, Linda. Thank you so much for listening to the program.
I'm the patient of yours.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that's why I knew all about the colon.
Okay, Linda.
And I enjoy the show and listen all the time.
Thank you, sweetheart. That's really great.
Bye.
Okay. So if anybody, yes, the answer was, oh, we have another caller. Hello, caller.
Yes, the appendage is the appendix.
Yay! You got it.
Wow. I did.
That's great. What's your first name?
Karen.
Hi, Karen. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye. Yes, it's the appendix.
Right.
Wow. Boy, you can't live without your colon.
No, you can't. And if your appendix gets a small stone in it, or somebody swallows a pit that gets lodged in the appendix, it doesn't drain and it gets inflamed, and that's what causes appendicitis.
Right, appendicitis. Actually, you could have part of your colon removed and live, but it's, you know, it, every part of your body is made so perfectly. I truly believe that God is there.
Right.
And has made everything. And part of what we do at the Triana Prevention Center is to prevent diseases from occurring. And also, we now have the Triana Center for Hormone Balance. And that's very important. And when you start studying and learning and realizing at the cellular level how important hormones are, and we're going to discuss that today, not just hormones, but other parts of your body. But I want to go back to this incredible conference.
Well, just to recap, this was the 27th year that this conference was held. And this is a conference of people who do interventional work, mostly in blood vessels, but also in other organs. And the most spectacular thing I saw this year, which I have never seen before, was a doctor at Duke University in North Carolina who has spent the last 15 years perfecting a method to grow blood vessels outside the body. Now, one typically now, if somebody has a blocked blood vessel that can't be opened with a stent or a balloon, then there is a replacement of that vessel with a artificial stent, which is usually made of metal and material. Gore-Tex is a favorite material. There are problems with that because it's foreign and the body has to learn to accept this material, and a lot of times it doesn't, and the bypass is clogs up because the body sees it as a foreign body and attacks it. This material that this doctor from Duke has spent his life work developing is acellular. It starts out with human cells. But as before it's released from its growth plate, so to speak, it runs through a process where it's acellular, so it forms a natural human matrix so that when it goes into a body to bypass a clogged vessel, the body sees it as a normal vessel and produces lining like in a normal vessel and actually produces some muscles around the vessel to give it more strength. And this is a spectacular thing. In addition, there were all kinds of cases demonstrated of angioplasty opening vessels, and there was live demonstration of cases done around the world. For instance, one day there was a case from Leipzig, Germany, done live. And other cases were done in at Baptist Hospital, where my brother is the founder and chief of the Miami Vascular and Cardiac Institute, which is a spectacular place.
It's incredible. They have these live cases, and they show you in these huge screens the interventions that they do to save people's lives. For example, if a leg was turning what they call critical limb ischemia, when the leg doesn't get enough blood, they could put stents in, and they did it right there on. You could see the whole procedure.
Right. They also did two carotid stenting.
Right, carotid stenting.
Where people had a narrowing of their carotid artery as a result of plaque.
And they also had, from Brazil, a gentleman who had, they put a stent in his heart, and he was 35 years old.
Right, right.
So we know that vascular disease is something that begins at a very young age. And what we're trying to do is to prevent people from ending up with those serious blockages. Because if you have blockage in your arteries, in your carotids, or in your legs, there's a very high chance that you are going to have blockages in the arteries of your heart.
Right. Vascular inflammatory disease is not just localized to one place or another. It's a generalized disease involving all the blood vessels, but certain blood vessels seem to be more advanced than others. But for instance, like Dr. Triana said, if you have a narrowed carotid, that the association between carotid and coronary artery narrowing is very, very strong.
And, you know, February is National Heart Month. And I think it's really important to remember the number one killer of men and women is your vascular problems, where you get heart attack, stroke. So if that's the number one killer and it continues to be that, then we need to try to decrease your risk for that to happen. Now, again, you know, you hear the Go Red for Women. The Go Red for Women is a program to remind women the number one killer of women is
heart disease. And frequently, heart attacks in women are only discovered when the woman has sudden death. So the other thing that's important is that heart attacks in women are difficult to manage clinically.
And most of the time, remember, women do not get the classic symptoms. They usually get short of breath. They feel an impending doom. They feel weak. Sometimes, too, they feel like their heart is racing. So when women get a heart attack, you better pay attention.
Right. And a lot of times women deny small symptoms like indigestion that keeps coming back and doesn't go away with a Tums or something of that sort. So that they put off getting care and sometimes until it's too late.
And I really want to stress to everyone, what is the word prevention? What is the word risk? Well, prevention is we're trying to decrease a major event from happening. And that is why my mission is with this program is to people to understand more about their health, their bodies. What is it they can do to prevent? Now, you can go once a year and see your doctor and say, oh, you're fine. They check you out, nothing else. But prevention involves more than that. It's an ongoing relationship with your doctor where you look at your risk, your family history, what are your lipids, and what are your hormones.
Right, and what is your lifestyle? Lifestyle is a very, very important part of assaying risk.
And there, more and more, I tell patients, look, we do not have a magic wand. This, everything we do at the Triana Prevention Center is to keep you from, to age healthier, to keep you from having a major event. But at the same time, each one of us has a responsibility to lifestyle.
Right.
Exercise, sleep right. Good. Remember we did the health makeover last week? One of the simplest things, floss your teeth.
Right. There's a very strong association between gum disease and coronary artery occlusive disease.
So Heart Month is not just for you, though. I think one of the things is to talk to the people you love. And talk to them and tell them, I love you. You know, Valentine's Day is coming up. How do you show someone you love? It's in the details. It's in the caring. It's in the concern. It's in saying, you know what? I think I'm going to, let's try to see if we can get you an appointment so you can see a doctor, so you can get checked out. Have you had your mammogram? Have you had your prostate checked? Have you checked your blood sugar or have you checked your blood pressure? You know, these are just simple little details that show someone you care. And I think part of the important part, too, that we've been discussing with the hormone therapy is the bioidentical hormones. Dr. Katzen, what does a bioidentical mean?
Bioidentical means what your body produces.
Right. Exactly the same thing.
In other words, it's not artificial. There's no fillers. There's nothing else but the hormone molecule that would be normally produced by that individual's body.
And a lot of, and some patients come to me and they're on a hormone that's made from horse urine. And that medicine, that hormone is Premarin. Now, if you're a horse, I guess that is bioidentical.
Right.
But I don't know how many of us are horses. Now, I will say I love horses. I've had horses, and there is no way that we are horses.
That's for sure. Well, not only that, in addition to the molecule, which is similar to what we produce normally, there's something like 20 different molecules in that Premarin capsule that are not bioidentical.
It's called conjugated equine estrogen, which, again, that would be bioidentical if you were a horse. But bioidentical means what is it that your body produce and the same exact chemical. You know, they have this little cartoon. It's really cute. And it's a horse dressed up like a girl, you know, the girl with a little dress and everything and a bonnet. And the doctor's standing there going, and the horse is going, "You're going to put that in me?" So, I mean, it's kind of cute. You know, I think it's important to understand what is bioidentical and know that the BioT program and the pellets that we put in patients, which are subdermic, under the skin, easy to do, are bioidentical. The same exact chemical that your body. It's natural.
That's correct. And the other thing that's important about that is that since the medicine is in you already for 24 hours, 7 days a week, there is a constant availability of that hormone that you install. Whereas if you take a hormone orally or take it through the skin, through the gel or a patch, there's not a constant blood level.
We are trying to change how people age. Did you know in the 1800s, people didn't usually live past their 40s?
No.
That's terrible.
I think that's the reason why young ladies were married as soon as they started to menstruate, because they could have a baby.
That's true. And we know, Dr. Katzen, we're going to talk today, too, about congestive heart failure. Explain what congestive heart failure is. Since this is Heart Month, we're going to talk about different diseases of the heart.
Well, congestive heart failure is when the heart can't produce.
And we have a caller. Hello, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's your name, caller?
How are you this morning, Dr. Gianna?
I'm doing great.
Well, we're listening to your program. We listen every Friday. I get a lot of things in the mail. You just mentioned about I don't even know if I can pronounce it right, that horse urine that they make medicine out of?
Yes, Premarin.
And the sad part of it, the horses have to be pregnant, and when the foal is born, they kill them. And it's really sad. The people, they should try and not do that if they could.
And I agree with you totally, because I live on a farm, and my last horse, who was 27 years old, just passed away. And let me tell you, he lived like a king.
Yeah, I can imagine he probably did. Yeah, but when they have all these horses, and they really treat them bad, you know, they have to stay in like stalls, and you know, it isn't right.
So the point is, we have available a natural hormone that's originates from plants, but it is the exact bioidentical as the hormone that's produced in your body. I thank you, caller. So thank you, caller. And if you have, if anyone has any questions, please call us, 206-1580. You know, there is so much myths out there about medicines, about what we can do to prevent disease. And so, Dr. Katzen, you were talking to us about congestive heart failure.
Well, let's back up here for a second. Congestive heart failure, there are about 500,000 people living in the United States now with congestive heart failure. Between the age groups of 65 and 75, 5% of the population has congestive heart failure. And between the ages of 75 and 85, 7% of the population has congestive heart failure. So what is this? Well, if you have a pump that's supposed to be putting out a certain amount of blood, the heart, and it can't keep up with the metabolic needs of the individual, then the supply to the pump, which is the blood, kind of backs up. And where does it go? Well, it goes into the legs. The legs get swollen up. This liquid part of the blood gets there. It goes into the lungs. The lungs get wet and people get shortness of breath. And especially if they want to, if they have to do any kind of activity, which normally produces increased demands for blood, they can't produce that increased demand for blood. So that is congestive heart failure. Now, congestive heart failure can occur two ways.
And they can't lay flat?
They can't lay flat because their lungs are wet.
Their lungs have fluid. Right. They can't lay flat. Their heart might be speeding up and down, up and down.
Right. And the other thing that happens is, as this progresses, there is the heart begins to fail more and doesn't beat properly. In other words, certain portions of the heart don't get the electrical signal they need to beat properly, and the heart dilates, and it can't pump out. Now, there are two kinds of congestive heart failure. One occurs where the heart dilates, and another one where there is the heart muscle gets so thick that the heart muscle gets stiff and can't pump as well. So those are the two kinds. Now, the causes of heart failure can be multiple. It can be vascular. In other words, people can have a obstruction to their coronary arteries, or they had an old heart attack with some portion of the heart muscle gone, or it can be viral in origin, or it can be metabolic in origin. But whatever,
or certain poisons too.
Certain poisons affect the heart, right? And certain deficiencies, like people who are hypothyroid, in other words, they don't have enough thyroid, can go into heart failure. They can actually go into a coma, which is another side of that illness. So that there are a variety of different causes of heart failure. But no matter what the cause is, once the patient gets into heart failure, there are metabolic changes that occur in the heart.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about those, and we're going to take our little break because we want to hear more from Dr. Katzen about congestive heart failure. Remember, this is Heart Month.
Right.
Hi, this is Dr. Triana from the Dr. Triana Show. So you'd like to feel younger? We cannot turn back the clock, but I can help you age better. The process is simple. After a thorough medical evaluation, including measuring your hormones, and with diet and exercise, we can balance your hormones so you can feel more vital. Call me at the Triana Prevention Center, 941-625-1990, or listen to me on WCCF.
And this program is brought to you by the Triana Center for Hormone Balance. You can call them anytime at 941-625-1990. They're located at 3155 Harbor Boulevard, Suite 100, Port Charlotte, Florida. And now let's get back to the program with Dr. Elizabeth Triana and Dr. Katzen.
And today we're talking about congestive heart failure, and we've already had some callers, including callers who guessed what body part am I, and the phone number is 206-1580, or if you're out of the area, it's toll-free 888-441-1580. and we're here to answer your questions. Dr. Katzen is talking about congestive heart failure. We know that this is Heart Month. It's February. It's not just the heart that you love with, but the heart that's your pump, right?
Right, right. Without that pump, you're not doing much loving.
And I think, and as everybody who listens to my show knows, I have a passion, because my passion is to help you to understand more about your body, about your health. And I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission. I want everyone to listen to this show and come away saying, you know what? I learned something new today.
Right. Now today, we're not proposing any treatment to any individual patient.
Right.
I'm just trying to report what the body of medical literature has produced over many, many years. But when somebody goes into congestive heart failure, in other words, the pump begins to fail, there are metabolic changes that occur throughout the whole body. And most these metabolic changes result in a low testosterone, a low growth hormone, a low IGFA, which is a marker that we use for growth hormone, and frequently a low thyroid utilization.
So we know that the heart, when it's in distress, it produces actually hormones. They're called neuropeptides.
Right.
And this part of your body is communicating with the other parts of your body. That's why we talk about balance. And then if your thyroid, for example, if your heart wasn't a problem, but your thyroid becomes very low functioning, then that thyroid affects the heart muscle. So they're all talking to each other.
Right. And there is some predictive value in the outcome of treatment. And this is not the only by the level of these hormones, systemic hormones in the body. Now, if you are overweight and have insulin resistance, that's a very important thing for somebody in congestive heart failure, because there is a metabolic change in the utilization of glucose, which is the energy that we all need, that occurs in congestive heart failure. And it's worse if people are insulin resistant.
So what that
means
is
there's a decreased utilization of sugar by about a third.
So that means that the heart muscle, which needs, you know, our energy, when each muscle, especially, and of course the heart muscle, needs to take sugar into the cells for energy, correct?
Right.
And then that energy, if that energy cannot come in to the cell, because you need insulin. Insulin is the key that opens a door. So if you're resistant, if you have insulin resistance, your insulin doesn't work correctly, then guess what? Your heart muscle is not getting the energy it needs, and it doesn't work correctly.
That's correct. So the balancing the hormones may well have an impact on the outcome of people with congestive heart failure. There are several articles in the literature that I was able to accumulate, where two groups of men with congestive heart failure and greatly reduced efficiency in the heart. In other words, we measure the efficiency in the heart by the ejection fraction, were separated. One group was given testosterone and growth hormone, and the other group was not. It was given conventional therapy. And at the end of 1 year of this type of therapy, their strength was measured. And it was great. The people who were receiving testosterone and growth hormone therapy had greater strength. They could work further. They had a greater cardiac output. In other words, that the ejection fraction, which started out at 30%, because that's what they needed to be in this group, was up in the 40%, which is close to normal, which is 50%.
Now, and these articles are in the Journal of the American Heart Association called Circulation.
Right.
We want you to know that this information is based and comes from prominent medical journals.
So we could well see the day when pellet therapy saves lives long term.
It does, yes, because saves lives, but also helps you to age in a healthier manner. And therefore, hopefully, and we know that with all the research, prevent disease. Now, again, there's no magic wand here. This is in conjunction with a healthy lifestyle. Like I tell my patients, there's nothing I can give you where I can say, okay, go and eat all the fatty foods, smoke as much as you want, drink as much as you want. It doesn't work that way. This is in conjunction with a healthy lifestyle.
Right. In addition to the testosterone, the level of thyroid hormone is really a critical thing for people with congestive heart failure, because the active ingredient of the thyroid hormone, the thyroid produces really several different hormones. We call one T4 and one T3. The body cells use T3. If you have a low T3 and a high T4, it doesn't do you any good because the body is not converting that T4 to T3. And that is what happens in the heart in congestive heart failure. Now, the heart is also responsive to other hormones like the parathyroid gland, which regulates the amount of calcium we have in our body. If we have too much or too little calcium, it will have a negative effect on the heart, too.
And magnesium is important, too.
Right. That's one of the elements that's important for the muscular contraction. Remember, the heart's working all the time. You're up, you're sleeping, whatever you're doing, your heart is working.
Isn't that incredible?
It is. It's like you said, it's an orchestra.
It's an orchestra. You know, you ever gone and you hear that, somebody didn't play their instrument correctly? Well, this is the same thing with your hormones, your whole body. When I have a patient come in for the first time, I look at the total patient. The total patient includes, again, their physical, their family history, their social history, their past medications, what medicines they're taking, and we also look to see if their hormones are imbalanced.
Right. Now, one of the things that also happens in patients who slip into congestive heart failure is that there are what are called negative cytokines. In other words, there are chemicals floating around in the body which cause you to lose muscle mass. I guess it's an adaptation to having less pump effectiveness. You don't have as much muscle. Maybe the pump will seem to be better. But people who slip into congestive heart failure have a very easy time losing weight, I can tell you that, because they do lose weight based on these negative cytokines. These negative chemicals that are float around the body are very much dependent on the level of testosterone. So low testosterone is a characteristic thing in people who have congestive heart failure. Raising the testosterone tends to depress those negative cytokines and stops the wasting and allows even the people who have congestive heart failure to build muscle mass. And that's a very important thing because if you get frail and you can't stand up and you fall down, then you something else happens. You get a fractured hip. We all know the story. We've all heard of patients like that.
Yeah, if you get a fractured hip, the chances of passing away in a year is very high.
Yeah, almost 50%.
Very, very high. So we don't want to go there. We know that congestive heart failure, unfortunately, the incidence is rising.
Right. Because for a variety of reasons, it isn't necessarily all coronary artery disease. It's viral infections, toxic material that we eat and drink, or whatever.
So it's really important that we try to prevent, and before we get to that point where the heart is not pumping well.
Congestive heart failure, is this something that develops over a number of years, or can it come suddenly, like, because of a virus?
It can come suddenly, or it can be developed over over on a very gradual basis.
With the
sedentary lifestyle is one of the worst things. And so as people get older, the heart is not used to putting out, getting the stimulus to be able to do more work once in a while. And so when the sedentary person gets up and wants to do something like climb the steps or go for a walk or go on a trip, then they have this sudden episode of something that has been building up for a long, long time.
And we know that congestive heart failure also can affect the rhythm of the heart, the electrical conduction system of the heart.
As we mentioned, as the heart muscle begins this physiologic change, one of the things that happens very, very frequently is that there's an abnormality of the conduction system.
And we also know that that's why a lot of patients who have congestive heart failure, if their ejection fraction doesn't go up, they end up needing to have a defibrillator pacemaker.
Yeah, and in the younger person, because it does occur in young people, they wind up having a heart transplant. And most people with dilated congestive failure, which is frequently from a virus, the greatest incidence in people in their 30s and 50s, and those are people wind up with a heart transplant because they have a long life to live, and that heart is not going to last.
So we're going to take a little break now, and Zane, go ahead and play our little clip there, and then we will talk more about BioT. Hi, this is Dr. Triana from the Dr. Triana Show. So you'd like to feel younger? We cannot turn back the clock, but I can help you age better. The process is simple. After a thorough medical evaluation, including measuring your hormones, and with diet and exercise, we can balance your hormones so you can feel more vital. Call me at the Triana Prevention Center, 941-625-1990, or listen to me on WCCF AM.
Giving blood could save 3 lives right here in our local hospitals. If you are 16 or older and weigh at least 110, you can donate. Give blood in any Big Red Bus or Florida's Blood Center's branch location. Go to floridasbloodcenters.org or call 1-888-9-DONATE.
Okay, we're back again. This is Dr. Elizabeth Triana. We're here with Dr. Katzen and Zane at the board. I guess we had a little blip there. And we are here. We are talking about congestive heart failure. We had a great topic today, too, with the what body part am I? You know, I get a lot of questions about patients who say, you know, they have a family doctor. They want to stay with their family doctor. Can they just come to see me just for balancing the hormones? And yes, we do consultations at the Triana Center. We go ahead and we will see you in consultation to balance your hormones. We're the only doctor in Charlotte County who is a BioT medical provider at this time, a certified BioT. If you go to their website, which is excellent, it's BioT Medical. It's B-I-O, capital T-E, medical, M-E-D-I-C-A-L.com. And there's some incredible videos. And, you know, when we look at patients to pick the right dosage of hormone, this is an individualized treatment. I want everyone to understand. And we have a caller here. Hello, caller. Hello, caller.
Hello. Yes. This message is to inform you that the deadline for getting...
Okay, and okay. It's not a caller. It's one of
those robots.
Robocall.
I think that was the deadline to sign up for...
Well, you know what? It seems like we get a lot of those on our cell phones and political calls. And are you going to buy this or are you going to buy that? I don't know how we're going to stop that one day, but anyways...
Well, so, you know, the federal government gave businesses access to your phone numbers.
Oh,
didn't ask us.
Can you get on? Is there? I wonder if there's a do not call list.
Well, you can get on the do not call list, but it doesn't seem to change very much, at least from my experience.
Wow.
So, if you are a person, what are the symptoms of having hormone not being balanced? Fatigue. Lost libido, belly fat, hair loss, muscle wasting, insomnia, anxiety, depression, fibromyalgia. We know that with balancing your hormones, it's very important that we look at you, your age, your hormone levels. This is based in science. We look at your thyroid, which is one of the captains of the ship. We look at your vitamin D level. And all this is put in a proprietary software to achieve a dosage for each individual person. So what may not be right for you, what may be right for the next person. And this is the beauty of personalized care, is that it's based on you. This is not cookie cutter medicine, as I've said before, right?
Right. A lot of people have thought that, okay, talk about hormone therapy, you're only talking about sex and muscle builders. And this is this is so far from the truth. That's one of the reasons I think why we had this program today, to show how important hormone balancing is, even for people with congestive heart failure and other degenerative diseases.
Correct. And we know, too, that we also look not just, again, at the main hormones. We look at the other hormones and see also what supplements you're on. You know, there are people, when we have our patients, we put them on a supplement called DIM, which is actually made from cauliflower. And this helps keeping your testosterone, especially in men, from changing into estrogen. All these hormones, as I say to the patients, every hormone you have as a man, women have also. It's the proportion of it.
Right.
So we...
Women have a hard time understanding that their most dominant hormone is testosterone.
Correct.
Through their whole life.
And we also look at iodine. We know that many people are actually iodine deficient. Well, if you don't have enough iodine, then what happens? You can't produce your thyroid hormone correctly. It needs iodine. It needs iodine that goes into your thyroid that forms the thyroid hormone. That's what the T4 and the T3 means.
Right. Well, the T3, the iodine molecule is important for producing a thyroid hormone, but there is another molecule of bromine, another chemical bromine. There used to be a product called Bromo Seltzer for headaches, and I was surprised to find out that bromine is a very, very common element and will displace iodine in your blood. So where do we get bromine? Well, it's in toothpaste, it's in bread. It's in pastry.
It's in fire to keep things...
Well, fire retardants, too.
Yeah.
So if you have fire-retardant clothes, there's bromine in that. And it's a very... It's a miscible type of element. In other words, it'll evaporate in the air. But we living in a world where there is a lot of bromine, which displaces the iodine in our body. So we can be living in a place like we have now, where we are now, with plenty of salt water and iodine in the air, but not enough to displace the bromine that we take in every day when we brush our teeth, eat a slice of bread.
So besides using iodized salt, which salt isn't a good idea anyway, right? Can you take an iodine supplement?
Yes.
You can take an iodine supplement.
Right.
Okay. And that's very important.
Now, the reason why there's iodized salt is that in the Great Lakes area, where there was really not very much iodine in that water, people would get goiters because their thyroid would get bigger trying to capture as much iodine as they could from the food. So it was called the goiter belt. So they iodized the salt so that people would have a better supply of iodine. Now, sea salt, for instance, has very little iodine in it. But the fact of the matter is, when Dr. Triana tests a patient, she looks at an element called the free T3. Now, the free T3 is very, very dependent on the availability of iodine and responds to the amount of bromine that one is carrying around in their blood as well.
So why did we go and we got trained into the pellet therapy? Because I want everyone to understand there's a difference between there's a word called bioavailable. What is available to treat the symptom or problem at hand? The pellets give a consistent level of hormones because they depend on blood flow. So what we call your cardiac output. Right. You're talking about congestive heart failure. So if you take pills or patches, you seem to get these peaks and valleys of the hormone delivered to your body. With the pellets, you get absorption and you don't get these big peaks and valleys. So therefore,
until the pellet runs out.
Until the pellet runs out, which in women it's 3 to 4 months, and men can be 5 to 6 months. Now we look at also your hormone levels, and there is to see at the in women in 6 weeks, in men in 4 weeks, after we implant the pellets. You know, I will tell you, I have been pelletized. I have my pellets, and I was using patches. And though I felt better with the patches and with testosterone injections, it's not the same because, first of all, I'm always working hard. I forget sometimes to put on the patch, take off the patch. And I would skip a day. And so, I don't know, my levels must have been going up and down, because I exceeded the time you're supposed to leave the patch on. Or sometimes I'd forget to get my shot. And this way, I know I'm getting a constant delivery of the hormone that I need.
And you only have to do it three or four times a year.
Right. So it's 3 or 4 times a year for women and maybe twice a year for men. And that to me is much easier. And again, it is a more constant level of hormone in my body. And I think that's important. We also know that women need testosterone. We know that after the menopause, your ovaries continue to produce some testosterone, but the number goes down and down as we age. So you do need testosterone for your brain function, for your whole well-being. Now, if you get your ovaries removed, well, you're not going to have that to fall back on. Plus, the level is going to be lower anyways. So we need to know that this is very important for balancing your hormones. It's not just estrogen for women. It's also testosterone.
Well, the other thing is the check you do at 6 weeks and at 4 weeks is to make sure that the algorithm in which you put all the patient data and gave you a number to install in the patient is accurate and in this particular patient and has accomplished what you want to accomplish.
And we know that already by 3 days of getting your pellets, you are going to be getting relief. We also know by the end of the week, after 1 week, you also will be having an effect. So, and over time, that effect is going to be greater. I think it's important for everyone to understand that balancing your hormones is based, again, in science. It's based on individual levels of your hormones. It's based on your age, your weight, and your sex. I think that's really something we need everyone to understand.
That's right.
And we know that with the BioT, after researching, we found that BioT was the best program because not only is BioT the hormones are compounded in the highest level of pharmacy available, And also they have constant testing to make sure that those hormones are very bioavailable. Again,
well, the other thing is they have a very strict standard of a 3% variation between capsules.
Right. In all their pellets. So,
Dr. Trana, why don't you tell people how long does it take to put these pellets in?
Oh, geez. Well, after you've get into the room, I would say about not even 10 minutes. It's done very easily. It's inserted under the skin. In fact, I saw on one of the television shows that they were inserting under the skin with a trocar, a chip, so people could enter into a building. Now, we know that these hormone pellets are put in your tush, and they're inserted, and they go under the skin. There is no pain. It's a small little, we use local anesthetic. It's very simple, inserted under the skin, and it lasts in women up to 3 to 4 months. And it is all, there is no allergic reaction to it, because these are bioidentical hormones that your own body produces.
Right.
We make a little incision, I would say the size of the end of your pinky nail. And through that incision, we insert a little trocar, and through that, we put the pellets under the skin. It's pretty simple.
Right.
Simple and so effective.
Right.
So
well, I think if your audience will go to the website, they will have a good idea about what you're talking about. And there are testimonials from a variety of different patients as well.
So this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana on the Dr. Triana Show. I want to thank you, Dr. Katzen. I want to thank Zane. And I want everyone to know that we are here to keep you healthy. And I'm very excited about the BioT Medical. Go to their website. See what we're doing. Go to the TrianaPreventionCenter.com website. Call my office. Make an appointment at 625-1990. Get your hormone balance. Feel better. Know that you can age healthier. Thank you very much.
We were talking. No, I have one more. I just have one question. We have 1 minute. We were talking about blood and the heart. Something I've always wondered about is why they ever use Coumadin as a blood thinner. And then they tell me that Coumadin is a rat poison. How does that work, and why do they use that?
Well, that's why it's a rat poison, because it causes hemorrhage, and they mix it in something where the rat wants to eat it, and the rat gets a hemorrhage and dies.
Okay.
The Coumadin is used to keep clot from forming into a little place in the atrium called the natrial appendage.
Okay. So thank you very much. This is the Dr. Triana Show. Stay healthy and God bless.
WCCF, Punta Gorda, Port Charlotte, coming to you.